Don't get distracted. Stay the course. Focus on Jesus. Stop letting life distract you from Him. There is nothing more important than Jesus. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Come on, one more time. Happy Mother's Day. There we go. It's a great day. We're thankful for all of you moms. I was telling a story first service. When I got my learner's permit, that's what we called it back then, a learner's permit, we first learned how to drive, and we were able to drive on the real road, because I just grew up driving tractors and stuff. So once I actually was able to drive on the road, let me rephrase that, legally, don't follow my example, kids. My mom was in the car with me, and I was driving, and I turned the corner, and my mom thought I was getting too close to the truck, the semi-truck, so she reached over, and she jerked the wheel. She's like, no, and she pulled it over there. So my mom actually saved my life. That was the last time she ever rode with me. You know, oftentimes, how many know we can drift? We can drift. Today we're starting a brand new series called Stay the Course. Everyone say, Stay the Course. Stay the Course. And it's all on the book of Hebrews. So if you want to learn a little bit more about a book of the Bible, then stay tuned for this entire series as we learn about the book of Hebrews. We're going to pull some things out that are going to, you know, help us in our life and help us to understand who God is in a very real way. It's a very rich theological book. And how many know that oftentimes, who here has ever fallen asleep at the wheel? Yeah, we know who you are. We see you. When I had my learner's permit, my dad was in the car, and we were coming back from a hunting trip. We were driving the family station wagon. And when I woke up, I was three lanes over. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't in this lane. And I look over, and my dad's in the passenger seat. He's like, totally out. He still rode with me because he never knew. You know, we drift when we drive. We drift when we walk. Some of you cannot walk a straight line to save your life. You just are everywhere all the time. Who knows somebody like that? All right? They're just like, hey, how you doing? And they're way over here. And all they had was milk. So we drift when we think. Somebody's talking to you and you're spacing out and you're like, hello. That's me preaching sometimes. I'm like, hello, are you paying attention? Anybody? Anybody paying attention? And you're like, what? What's for lunch? We drift. We drift when we think. We drift in life. Sometimes people drift in life when they have no purpose. No purpose in their life, no plan for their life. They don't know what God wants them to do with their life. They don't even believe in God. Maybe religion is their little punch card. They punch their religious card, like, okay, I'm doing that, check the box type of thing. The problem is oftentimes we can drift. If we're not careful, we drift spiritually. And that's when we get into real trouble, when we start to drift spiritually and we don't take our relationship with the Lord seriously. And it becomes a problem. Over the next several weeks, I want us to go through Hebrews, and I really want us to get to this point where we stay the course. Everyone say, stay the course. We stay the course. Now, let me give you just a little introduction about Hebrews so you understand why it's important to your life. First of all, Hebrews is one of the books of the Bible, in case you didn't know that. It's one of the books of the Bible, and I never want to assume people know that, because we have a lot of people come in here that are new believers or just haven't made a commitment to Jesus yet and have never read the Bible. So it's one of the books of the Bible, and no one really knows who wrote it other than it's believed that some sort of pastor wrote it, that he wrote it to a church, a people that were wavering in their faith. They had given their life to Jesus. They surrendered their heart to Jesus. They believed in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and they were following Jesus, but a lot of trouble was coming. Persecution was coming. They kind of started getting to this sense where, like, man, I just think I should go back to the ritualistic of my Jewish life, that ritualism of my Jewish life, and do the things I used to do because my old life was better. sometimes we can get to that point where we drift and we think our old life is better, and then that becomes a problem. So these people that were getting the letter, this was what was going on. So the writer of Hebrews is really kind of encouraging people, hey, don't drift away, stay the course, because the benefits are going to be wonderful. And so I want that to be the encouragement for us over the next few weeks as we unfold this book, that we don't look back. That's what the people of Israel did after they left Egypt. They got into the desert and they just said, let's just go back to Egypt and be slaves. Our old life was better. And then they got into a lot of problems because they started to drift. When we started this year, we started with this theme called focus. Everyone say focus. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 12, and here's what it says. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. On who? On Jesus. And so we focus on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. We have to focus on him, fix our eyes on him, stay the course in our life, and that's what I want us to do over the next few weeks. If you can kind of get this heart over the next few weeks as we go through Hebrews, that this pastoral letter, if you will, is imploring God's people, please don't drift. I want to tell you a story about Temecula Tom and Temecula Tammy. Temecula and Tom and Temecula Tammy moved to Temecula. And they got here and they moved next door, down the street, from a wonderful family that goes to Fusion Christian Church. And so they kind of became friends. Hey, welcome to the neighborhood. And they're like, hey, great. And Tammy was toting their brand new little baby, you know, little Tommy. A lot of T's in the family. And so this wonderful family from Fusion Christian Church invites them, say, hey, why don't you come to church? Well, Tammy was thinking, you know, I really wanted to go to church. She didn't have much church background. She had been a couple times when she was a kid, but her parents didn't really go to church. But she knew something in her heart. She knew she wanted to raise little Tommy in church to learn about God. And so she accepted the invitation, but Temecula Tom was a little skeptical. Sundays were important to him. It was football and beer day for him. And he didn't really think that church was for him. It was kind of for those guys that just, you know, couldn't hack life on their own. It was kind of a little bit too girly for him, so he wasn't having any of it. So he says, but Tammy, if you want to go, go for it. So she goes, and she goes, and she goes, and next thing you know, Tammy gives her life to Jesus. And she comes home, and Tom realizes, man, there's a change in my wife. Something's going on. She's different. What's the deal? So she starts praying for Tom, and God, work on Tom's life and help him to come to church with me. So she says, Tom, why don't you come to church with me? And he says, all right, fine, it's Easter, I'll go. Will they have candy? And she says, yes. He says, all right, I'll go. So he goes, and he's a little, you know, he's really apprehensive. So he gets there, and he's out in the lobby here at Fusion Christian Church, and he realizes, man, these aren't the kind of the sissy guys I thought would be here. Some of these guys are pretty rough. I don't know. It's not so bad. So he says, okay, well, I'll sit down. So he comes and he sits in the back row. I don't want to point to the back row. There's a lot of people back there. I mean, like, he's talking about me again. I told you, Margaret. Anyway. So he sits there and he's kind of digging the music. I'm like, oh, he's tapping his foot. Okay, I don't understand what they're singing, but this is kind of jamming. He's like, why are all these rough guys that were out in the lobby lifting their hands and singing? He says, that's a little girly. I don't get that, but whatever. So he's just kind of chilling, and then everybody sits down, and then the pastor gets up, and Temecula Tom is ready for a nap, like a lot of people in church. And then he realizes that the pastor is the coolest guy he's ever seen in his entire life. So he pays attention. And then he begins to listen, and God begins to speak to his heart. And the Holy Spirit starts working on Tom, starts chipping away the hard surface, and God's word penetrates his heart, and Tom gives his life to the Lord, and beach baptism comes up, and Temecula Tom and Temecula Tammy get baptized at the beach baptism. They're excited, and they dedicate little Tommy to the Lord, and they're serving God, and a year goes by, and 2 years go by, and 3 years go by, and they all of a sudden rise up to a position of leadership, and they're serving, and they're giving their time, talent, and treasure to God. They're like, yeah, this is awesome. And then, you know, 5 years go by, 6 years go by, and they're plugged in. All of a sudden, Tom gets a promotion at work, and And then he has to travel, you know, a little bit during the year, and then he misses a week here and he misses a week there, and Tammy says, okay, well, while you're gone, I'm going to get little Tommy into Little League. And so then, you know, Saturdays turn into Sundays, and then little Tommy has to be on the travel league, and then so they start traveling to different, you know, cities on Sundays, and then they miss 1 week, and then 1 week turns into 2 weeks, and 2 weeks turns into several months, and then next thing you know, they're not coming anymore, and pastor wonders what happened to Temecula Tom and Temecula Tammy. They were so on fire for God. Word reaches him later that after several years, Tammy leaves her husband for someone else. Tom's married to his work, and little Tommy grows up and doesn't have any church experience, doesn't understand God, and really believes that there is no God. I wish I could tell you that this story was fictional, but it happens so much. It happens so often. That's why the scriptures are rich with God's warning to us, stay the course. Don't drift. Don't get sidetracked. Don't lose your way. And as we go through the book of Hebrews, I really want us to get this resolve in our hearts and in our minds that we would focus on Jesus. We'd fix our eyes on him. Because we need him. So if we're going to stay the course, the question we should ask ourselves this morning is this: what is the course that I should take? Which way should I go? There's a lot of ways you can go. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Few choose that way. I want you to be in that group of people that choose that narrow way. And so I'm going to break it down for you very simply today. The course that you should take is this: Jesus is the course that I should take. Everyone say Jesus. I just want to make it very simple for you. Jesus is the course that you should take, which is the way we're going to be going, and we're going to go the Jesus way. So I want to start with the first few verses of Hebrews, and I want to break this down for us so that we would understand why that's so important. Hebrews chapter 1. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times and in various ways. So God used all kinds of things to speak to his people, dreams and visions. He sent angels. He used signs and wonders, all kinds of things, all pointing to Jesus. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is a powerful passage of scripture. It's so theological in its content, it's too much for me to go over in just one sitting, unless we would be here until after lunchtime and some of you guys would be famished. So we're going to break down some of these things so that we can understand them and apply them to our life, but also understand the rich doctrine that's taught to us in the scriptures in this first part of Hebrews and why we should not waver from it, because it is of the utmost importance to our life. Everything in Hebrews coming after this finds its solid ground in the first three verses. Everything that the writer will tell us to do and to keep as preeminent in our life will come from the foundation stones of these first few verses. We need to stay the course. In 1979, 257 passengers boarded a little plane so that they could go do some sightseeing in Antarctica. Well, the pilot and the co-pilot didn't realize that their instruments were off by only 2 degrees. And as they flew, what they thought was their destination in the clouds, they were 28 miles off course. And as the pilot began to descend so they could see the sights, found the side of a mountain, and no one made their destination. I tell you this sad story because it happens in people's spiritual lives all the time. Off by just a little bit, and they begin to crash their lives into the side of a mountain and never reach the destination. I don't want that to be you. We need to make sure that Jesus is our main coordinates. He's our main destination. So the question we should ask ourselves this morning is this: how do I make Jesus my primary destination? Do I just go to church? Is that it? What do I do? And so I want to help you with a few things today. And the first thing you need to do is you need to listen to his directions. Who here right now, if I say this, your mom's voice is going to ring in your head, because I said so. Anybody? Or how, if you have siblings, why? Because mom said. Mom said, mom said, mom said, mom said, mom said. Right? That was my house. We have just 7 kids in my family. Listen to his directions. Some years ago, I was on a mission trip to Mexico, and we were in this little tiny Nissan. There was 3 of us big guys in the back, and the 2 ladies were in the front. We were driving way down to Mexico to preach to a little tiny church. And when we got done, it was a long drive back, and the girl driving was basically blind. It was a horror show. And we're driving, and it's getting dark, and they don't have lights like we do. You know, we Americans, we have lights everywhere at night. There's lights shining on every which way. We know where we're going for the most part. But out there, there was no. So when you come to the sign that tells you which way, you're kind of like, you know, she can't see past the end of the car. And so she's leaning over her steering wheel, driving like this. And the other guy in the car is like shouting directions, and none of them really speak Spanish. It's amazing I've made it here. You have to listen to the right directions. Let's remind ourselves what Hebrews says. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors. So God spoke, and he directed his people, and he commanded his people, and he taught his people. How did he do that? Through the prophets, through men of the Old Testament who God would call and approve to speak his word and give direction to the people of God. This is the way, walk in it. And all those prophets pointed to Jesus. If you're doubtful and skeptical about Jesus Christ, what I would say to you is to go study the amount of prophecy that Jesus actually fulfilled, and you'll begin to recognize how much you should really believe in him and how true God is to his word. He spoke to us in these ways at many times in its various ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his what? Who? His son. Everyone say his son. That's Jesus. He spoke to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. All kinds of ways in which God has spoken to us, but these final days, the ultimate way in which he speaks to us is through Jesus Christ. The question is, why should I listen to Jesus? Why do I care what he says? Some dead guy, weird people believe in. People have that thinking. Why should I listen to Jesus? I'll make up my own way. I got my own strategy. I got my own plan. I've watched a couple YouTube videos. I got it down. Well, I'll just give you a few things that Scripture teaches us. Well, the reason why we should listen to this is because Jesus is God's final and superior word. He's the final and superior word. In other words, all those ways were good, but God's final word and his ultimate word to us is spoken through the person of Jesus Christ. So I listen to him because he is the final exclamation point on all of God's commands. He's not just the exclamation point. He's the multiple underlines and the highlight. He is the ultimate word of God. And number 2, he's the final direction. In other words, when I'm lost, spiritually lost, lost in life, lost for eternity, Jesus is the final direction point in which I must go. This makes him of the utmost importance to our lives, day in and day out. And thirdly, he's our final destination. One day, you are going to pass away. I know you don't like stats, but, you know, they're 80% right, 60% of the time. But one stat that's always correct is that the mortality rate of humans hovers right around 100%. Do you guys know that? Some of you are doing the math in your head. Right around 100%. And as we think about that, no one wants to think about that, no one wants to plan for that, but it is very much a reality. What's your final destination? The Bible teaches us that for us who believe upon Jesus Christ, our final destination is Jesus Christ. The place in which we are going is to be with him. He's the one in which we are going to. He's the one who's calling us to himself. Jesus is my final destination. And so as we think about that, we say, okay, if I have to listen to his directions, let me ask you this question. How is your time in God's word? Because if God's going to speak to you, he's going to speak to you through the person of Jesus Christ, through his word. And I know in life we can get so distracted, we can get so drifting that we don't take time to actually read our Bibles. And I'm going to tell you, I've been doing this a long time, and I know what it's like to have seasons in your life where your time in God's word wanes, when it begins to kind of like fall off. We need to make sure we stay focused and we stay the course. Say, oh God, I want to learn your word. Why? Because that's how God's revealing himself to us, and he's speaking to us through his word. Some people get off track and they think, man, I just need a word from God. I need somebody just give me a word from God, you know? I don't know why they do this, but they do. Word from God. I need something. Because if we're not careful, we get so super spiritual, Jesus isn't enough. And God tells us in his word that Jesus is plenty enough. That if God never said another thing to you for the rest of your life, he's already said enough. So my question is, are you in God's word? Are you listening to his directions? The second way we make Jesus our primary destination is to make Jesus the center of your compass. Who here has ever used a compass before? Okay, not the one in your car that says north. All of your digits, the one actually holding your hand, it's got the little arrow, it spins around, okay? It points north, by the way, some of you didn't know that. It points always to the north, okay? And right in the middle of that compass and that arrow is this little rod that keeps it all together. Jesus is that rod. Jesus is the center of God's compass. He's the focal point of everything that gives direction to our lives. Look what the Bible says. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. By what? His powerful word. He's the radiance of God's glory. What's the center of your universe? So you might say, well, my mommy, the center of my universe. I'm like, okay, buddy, you're 35. Let's go now. You're okay. Maybe it's your kids, your grandkids. I cannot stop myself from giving kisses to my grandkids. I can't. It's like uncontrollable urge within me. And they're like, I can only do it for such, you know, a short amount of time, because when they're 16, it gets awkward. But this, you know, this compelling love within me that I want them to know how much I love them and care about them, how affectionate I am. What's the center of your universe? The Bible teaches us that Jesus should be the center of our universe, and that he very much is the center of the universe. It tells us that he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, that basically when we look to Jesus, we're looking to God. John 1 talks about it this way. It says, in the beginning, the word already existed. Who's that word? Jesus is. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, through Jesus, and nothing was created except through him. And the Word gave life to everything. Everyone say, that's me. Come on, that's me. The Word gave life to everything. That's me. Jesus gave me life. Not just spiritual life, physical life. Gave life to everyone. And created, and life brought light to everyone, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. In other words, Hebrews begins by telling us the importance of Jesus in past, present, and future. He's important in past because through all things were created through him. He's important in the present because all things hold together because of him. And he's important in the future because he is the light in which I'm heading towards. So my question is to you this morning is, Is he the center of your universe? You know, my story about Temecula Tom and Temecula Tammy is so real, and maybe some of you have struggled with similar issues. It's so real. It happens all the time. I've talked to pastor after pastor. It's the same scenario. They're like, man, these people were on fire. Next thing you know, they wavered off, and then they're not following God, and then this happened, and things happened in the family, and then God just became something that they shelved for maybe, oh, I'll do it later. We can't get past the scriptures that tell us that nothing would have happened without Jesus' involvement, because God made him the center. So if God made him the center of the compass, if you will, is he the center of yours? And if he's not, I challenge you to make him the center of yours. You might have a lot of questions. You might like, well, I don't understand everything. That's fine. I've been doing this a long time. I still don't understand everything. But I want to learn it. And so I stay the course. God, begin to teach me your ways so that I might understand you more and fall in love with you all over again. Thirdly, I want to point this out. If you're going to make him your primary destination, you have to rest in his finished work. Everyone say rest. There are two types of people in the world. And I hate to put you in two classifications. Actually, no, I'm not sorry at all. It's actually kind of fun for me. You fall into one or two categories, okay? There are two types of people. There are those who sit down after the work is done, and that there are those who sit down before the work is done so they can watch the work being done. They're like, we're going to do this. Oh, that is exhausting. We haven't done anything yet. I say, no, but you saying that just makes me tired. I need to sit down. I'm beat. Just pooped. I can't. Some of you, you're sitting next to one of those two people right now. You're sitting down to the person who sits down before the work's done, or the one who sits down after the work's done. Look at this passage again in Hebrews. After he had provided purification for sins, what's that purification? Jesus is that purification because he died on the cross. To pay, he took our sins upon him. He paid for our sins. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And now when we believe in him, we're washed clean. The Bible says we're declared righteous right in his sight. And it says, after he did that, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Who's the majesty in heaven? God is. And Jesus sat down at the right hand. And that is the place of honor and authority and blessing. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. I don't have time to get into the whole angels portion of it. I know some of you might geek out about that, but here's the one point that we should pull out of this. Why is Jesus' name superior to the angels? Because Jesus is called the Son of God, and the angels are not. So his name, which is the name above every name, Jesus Christ, at his name, every knee will bow, even the angels will bow before him. That's why we don't worship angels, by the way, because we only worship Jesus. Now, I don't want to get too far into this because it's very complex, and we'll get into it more as the series goes on, but let me just help you understand what's saying. He goes, Jesus sat down. In the Old Testament, the Jewish way, the Jewish law, was that the priest would offer sacrifices for the sins of the people day after day, especially on the Day of Atonement, and they would go into the most holy place and offer the blood of the sacrifice for the sins, their sins and the sins of the people. It was a constant ritualistic way that could never really remove sins completely. It was this way of showing us that no matter how religious you get, you can't actually make yourself right with God by doing enough. And so the priest stood there all the time, day after day, making sacrifices for the people. But when Jesus came, and we'll read the verse in a minute, when Jesus came, he made a sacrifice as our high priest once for all time. And he sat down next to the Father. Why? Because his work was finished. The Old Testament priests never sat down because the work was never finished. Only Jesus could finish that work. So he sat down in the place of rest, which we'll talk about again later on in the series about how we can find rest in the Lord in the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 10 says about this very subject. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sin. I just got to point this out for a second. This is why, for some of you that might come from Catholic backgrounds, this is why we don't do ritualistic things at Fusion Christian Church, because those don't save you. They don't save you. Only Jesus does that. Can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. And he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he awaits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. That's you. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so, for he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." You know God is real. Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds, and when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices." Why? Because Jesus rested from the finished work. When he said, "It is finished," he literally meant it. It is finished, and you can't earn your salvation or make a way for your salvation. Jesus is the destiny of your salvation. He's the focus of your salvation. He's the reason for your salvation. And all of Hebrews points to this solid rock of foundation saying, because of this, stay the course and don't get lost. Let me put it to you this way. Jesus was exalted and pre-existent. Watch me now. In heaven, eternity past, before the creation of the world, Jesus was exalted and pre-existent. And watch what he did. Then Jesus came down, humbling himself. He took on the form of a servant, the Bible says, of flesh, our flesh, and God became flesh and dwelt among us and laid himself down as the Lamb take the sins of the world, so that you and I might be right with him based on faith and what he did on the cross, his finished work. And then Jesus went up again to heaven. He ascended heaven to be exalted at the right hand of the Father. Now watch, this is where it gets personal. Jesus will come down again to exalt those who stay the course. So he was up in heaven pre-existent. He didn't need to come down, but he humbled himself and he came down and he laid his life down. And because of that, he rose from the grave, and he ascended to the Father and was exalted to the highest place of honor. And one day he will come again on the last day to bring all of those who stay the course to be with him also, so that where I am, you may be also, he said. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Don't get distracted. Stay the course. Focus on Jesus. Stop letting life distract you from him. There is nothing more important than Jesus. Let me pray for you. Maybe you're here today and you have become the focus of your universe. That's been the course of your life for who knows how long. Well, today I want to open up an opportunity for you to make Jesus the focus of your universe, to make him the direction of your life, the purpose for your life, the reason which you wake up tomorrow morning. God has a plan for your life. So bow your heads, close your eyes today. If you have never given your life to Jesus on this Mother's Day in 2024, I want to give you opportunity to do that. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you just like, "I'll figure it out. I don't need that." You know in your heart God's real. God has written it on your heart, and he's written it on your mind. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus today, I'm just going to ask you just to raise your hand. You don't have to do anything crazy or weird or come up front. Just going to raise your hand, and we're going to pray for you and believe that God's going to come and live in your life. Anybody here that would like to do that? We'll pray. Lord, we thank you so much for those giving their life to you. They would surrender their whole life, past, present, and future, into your hands, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we go through this series on Hebrews, God, you would help to open up our minds, to give us this spiritual resolve that we would stay the course, fixing our eyes on you, focused on you. Lord, because you are the goal. You are the prize. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.